Hi everyone, Drew Perot here. Today we're talking with Dr. Stephanie Estima in this mini episode, and we're chatting all about women's health. Here are a few topics that Dr. Stephanie is going to be covering. The big mistakes women make when it comes to their hormonal health. How the accumulation of low-grade stress impacts metabolic health, and how women have to be mindful about being more sensitive to stress than others. Lastly, we're going to chat about the importance of listening to your body and attuning to your symptoms, and we're going to walk through Dr. Estima's protocol, the Estima Method for Optimal Hormone Health. If you care about the intersection of strength training, metabolic health, hormonal health, and women's health, today's mini episode is definitely for you. Stay tuned. I want to start at the beginning. Give us the hero's journey behind this book of what you went through when it came to your health.
Oh, that's a great question. So yeah, there was definitely a heroine's journey here. So I would say that for most of my life, so prior to our meeting up, you know, all throughout my high school years, my university years, my years in chiropractic school, I honestly felt that my menstrual cycle was a punishment for being a woman. I felt every month that my cramping, you know, the bloating, the heat, the aggravation that my body felt was my arch nemesis. And I would take medication to silence it. I would completely ignore it. I would set other goals. I would try to ignore the fact that I was a woman because my focus at the time was really getting great grades. There was a certain chiropractic school that I wanted to get into. There was only one, and that was going to be the only one for me. And so I did everything in my power to completely ignore my body when it didn't do what I wanted. So I would be good for some, you know, the beginning parts of my cycle. I wasn't tracking my cycle or anything, but there was a couple of weeks where things seemed okay. And then towards, you know, the weeks leading up to my period, hot and achy joints, hot and tender breasts, I had brain fog, I was swollen. And instead of slowing down to say, okay, what is she trying to tell me? You know, I would ignore it. I would silence it. And it wasn't until I went to Italy, as you were referring to, that things really changed for me. So we went to Italy. It was sort of on the heels of, I had gone through recently a divorce with young children, which is, if anyone is listening who's ever been through any kind of divorce, it's very difficult emotionally. And I thankfully have a very good relationship with my children's father now. But at the time, you know, things were not as smooth sailing as they are now. And my clinic had also burned down. So these two things had happened together. So I had rebuilt a clinic after there was an electrical fire in the old clinic. It burned down. And then we had to move everything to a sort of a temporary location and then build out this, what I thought was my dream clinic at the time. So a lot of stressors happening at the same time. And normally, so we went to Italy. I was, you know, as we were getting on the plane, I remember thinking, God, like, I am so tired, even though I didn't necessarily allow myself to feel that as we were en route to our destination. I remember thinking like, I'm really tired. So I spent a lot of time sleeping. I spent a lot of time just doing low grade activity during the day. We would walk to go get, you know, our fruit. We would walk to go get a coffee in the morning, like just a lot of walking and a lot of sunshine, beautiful Italian sea and the beautiful salt that's in the sea there, and ate all the classic Italian stuff, like all the cappuccinos and the pastas and the pizzas and all the things that you really, as a healthcare provider, don't necessarily recommend. But I was like, F it. Like, this has been a tough couple years. I'm going to enjoy myself. And towards the end of that trip, we were there for several weeks, I got my period. And normally that would be the worst thing. Like if I had that means that I'm holed up in the hotel room, I'm on medication, I have, you know, the eye mask on, and I'm like, nobody talk to me for a couple of days. But that didn't happen this time. It actually came quite easily. There was no, you know, that heat coursing through my joints and my body. I didn't feel that. I felt like it sort of came in with grace and left with grace as well. And
yeah, you were saying in the book, like all the classic signs that you normally get that a lot of women experience,
yeah,
including my fiance before, like the heavy breast tenderness, you know, those things just weren't present.
Yeah, the distension, the bloating, the water retention, the headaches, the PMSy, like very irritable. All of those things really didn't happen for me. And at the beginning, I said, oh, okay, it's just Italy. Like everything's better in Italy anyway. Like the cappuccinos are better here. You know, you go to, you know, the little store and you buy some sandwich and it's the best sandwich you've ever had in your life, right? So, so I chalked it up to just being in Europe and being stress-free. But there was a part of me that also was like, well, it's your body that did it. Even though the environment was different, is there a way that we can bring this back home and begin to unpeel what were some of the things that made this particular cycle better for you? And that sort of drove me into my own experimentation on myself in terms of foods that I was eating, the way that I was managing my stress, the way that I was moving. And for the patients in my clinic who let me experiment on them, I thank you all very much. You were my original guinea pigs. And I would play with manipulating macronutrients. I would play with manipulating when they were resistance training, when they were doing high intensity interval training, when they were just doing steady state cardio, when they were when we gave them, you know, a couple days off for recovery week. And what was birthed from that was really my body of working knowledge that I've put in this book, and it's served me ever since. And it's sort of, you know, I'm very happy to say that I love my period now. I look forward to it. I'm in my mid 40s. I just turned 43, and it's a dream. It comes with grace. It leaves with grace. There's none of the premenstrual symptoms and signs of aggravation that I once experienced for decades, even though there is more stress. You know, now I'm homeschooling my children because of the pandemic. I'm cooking at home is a really big core value for me. So there's always home cooked meals that I like to prepare because I just love to cook, and running my own business and all the things. So, you know, I may have the same amount, potentially more stress now because I am still an unqualified teacher, but I'm doing my best. And I still feel like I am in a really beautiful cadence, a really beautiful rhythm with the ebbs and flow of my hormonal cycle because I can appropriately change the way that I respond to myself now.
You went through this journey yourself. You started asking questions after this Italy trip and experimenting on yourself and with other patients. And through that process, you developed a methodology, you know, the Estima method. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But first, before we jump into sort of what you did that helped turn things around, what were you really sort of finding out were some of the key underlining pillars that led you to the place that you were in before things turned around? What were the staples that were going on with life that maybe you thought it's not a really big deal, but it actually was taking its toll on your body? I've experimented with every eating approach in the book. I'm talking about raw foodist, vegan, vegetarian, meat eater, you name it, I've tried it. And the truth is, at first, I felt pretty good on all of them until I didn't. The common denominator for all these diets is the fact that they're all made up of mostly whole foods and free from processed foods, which will do anybody good. But after some time has passed, I still didn't feel like I was thriving. I was dealing with some lingering gut issues, endotoxemia, and acne breakouts. Through a bunch of trial and error, I found that following one specific eating style wasn't the answer for me, and maybe it hasn't been the answer for you either. In my personal opinion, I think technology can be a critical part of the solution in helping us figure out what foods are best suited for our own unique genetic makeup. That's why I was super excited when I heard about Inside Tracker. Inside Tracker helps take the guesswork out of living optimally and creates a nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle plan that's personalized. That's the key word, personalized, for you based on your blood work, DNA, and personal preferences. Inside Tracker's cutting-edge technology gives you science-backed recommendations for positive changes to your daily habits. With their app, you can track your progress every day, and they even have an amazing support team to help you with all your questions. Insight Tracker looks at everything from metabolic and inflammatory markers to nutrients and hormones. It even tests your cortisol levels to help you better manage stress, and you have the option to see how your inner age compares to your chronological age. Insight Tracker makes their results easy to understand and provides tips on how to use food first for optimal nutrition. And now you can even connect Insight Tracker to your Apple Watch to unlock deeper, more personalized insights into your health with real-time exercise, resting heart rate, and even sleep data synced with your Insight Tracker plan. You can truly wear your health right on your sleeve. Right now, Insight Tracker is offering my podcast community 20% off. Just go to insidetracker.com/DHRU. That's Drew. insidetracker.com/DHRU to get your 20% discount code and try it for yourself. That's insidetracker.com/DHRU for 20% off. The human body is insanely resilient. We can bounce back from a heck of a lot, and it wouldn't be at all possible without the help of our immune systems. But a healthy immune system cannot thrive without a healthy planet. You can't have one without the other. It just doesn't fly like that. Our immune health and the planet's health are intimately connected, which is why my business partner, Dr. Hyman, and I were super excited to partner with Big Bold Health, a company that's committed to protecting both. Big Bold Health is an immunity solutions company that combines natural wisdom with modern science to deliver the highest quality immune-supporting foods and supplements on the market. One of my favorite Big Bold Health products is their Himalayan Tartary Buckwheat. You've probably heard me talk about it on the podcast. It's an organic superfood grown in soils that yields higher levels of key micronutrients and gut-nourishing polyphenols for the ultimate immune-supporting benefits. Right now, Big Bold Health is offering my listeners $20 off all their products. Just go to bigboldhealth.com to get all of their products for $20 off with the code DHRU20. That's Drew20, DHRU20. And when you sign up for their subscribe and save program, you'll get free shipping on every order as well. That's bigboldhealth.com with the code DHRU, Drew, that's me, 2020 at checkout.
I think one of the big pillars was that I was trying to eat the same way all month long. So I would, you know, I sort of alluded to this a little earlier in our conversation where I said, I could do something for a couple weeks. And then the week or two before my period, unbeknownst to me, because I wasn't tracking my period at that time, I didn't know where I was, but I would start to want more food, or I would want to start to have different food. I would have different cravings. And so I think that the big mistake that I made, and I think that many women continue to make, is that we pretend that we're little men. We think that we can just follow the same thing all month long, and there's not going to be any repercussions for it. But for a woman who's in her reproductive years, you need to be modifying the way that you eat because your hormonal landscape is always changing. So when we think about just, you know, kind of going on that example of the last 2 weeks of your cycle, you can, you know, the last 2 weeks are called your luteal phase. It is when your corpus luteum is secreting progesterone, which is your progestation or pro-pregnancy hormone. So it is a potent stimulator of your appetite. You are going to naturally feel hungrier. It is going to slow down your bowels. You may experience, you know, not as many bowel movements through the day as you might in your follicular phase or the first 2 weeks of your cycle. So it's important for you to not, as a woman, to understand where you are and understand that some of these changes might be coming about because of the changing hormonal landscape, not because there's something wrong with you. That's the other thing that we do. Women, we like to blame ourselves. We like to follow, you know, we follow a diet or we buy, you know, some program or whatever. And if it doesn't work for us because it's inflexible and it's the same thing all the time, we often jump to the conclusion, well, it didn't work for me because there's something wrong with me. I must be broken. There's something wrong with, maybe it's just my, it didn't work for me. When in reality, it was just that the woman didn't necessarily know how to shape shift whatever program, whatever diet, whatever she's trying to implement into her cycle. So that would be one of the key pillars, is trying to do the same thing all month long. And that is true for nutrition. It's also true for your exercise regimen as well. We think that we should just be following this certain thing all the time. But again, your hormones will change the laxity of your ligaments, the stiffness of your tendons. So there's times in the month that are not really great for doing high intensity interval training. For example, when we're doing burst or explosive movements, we are much more likely, especially in that second week of your cycle, to get injured if you're doing a lot of HIIT. So knowing where you are in your cycle is going to help you adapt whatever health program you are trying to implement into your life. So that's maybe the key. I think that another important one, and we touched on it, is really unresolved stress. And I think that we really underestimate as women the accumulation of chronic low-grade stress in our lives and the effect that it has not only on our menstrual cycle, but on our sleep and on our metabolism and our ability, if weight loss is a goal, our ability to lose weight, our ability to relax. And over time, what ends up happening is we start to develop this sympathetic dominance or more sympathetic tone in the central nervous system. So if you're always stressed, what I mean by that is it's almost akin to, if you can think of foot pedals on a car, you know, if we think of like the gas pedal as your sympathetics, it's like, go, 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 take the kids to soccer, cook the home meals, homeschool the kids, all that stuff. Your ability to now put your foot on the brake or to activate your parasympathetics. So that might be gentle movement. That might be anything that is going to help you relax and digest your meals. And, you know, it's the immune system, digestive system, and your reproductive system. So that, and we can talk about like self-pleasure and why that's really important, but we stop the parasympathetic when we're always putting our foot on the brake. And I think that women, we just, for whatever reason, think that we have to be this superwoman. Like there's even a name for it. It's called superwoman syndrome, where we have to be all things to all people and perfect at all. Like you have to be doing it in heels and makeup and you got to do it perfectly all the time. And that's just not the case. That's just not what being a human and having a human experience is about. Sometimes you're going to, you know, wake up and you're going to have, you know, sleep in your eye. You're going to have drool. You're going to be in your pajamas. Like it doesn't always have to be perfect. And I think this constant driving towards perfection is also, I personally think it's a trauma response. I think that women who are this like type A, always driving towards something, I think there's some trauma there. And I can speak to that from personal experience as well. But I think that we really do have to forgive ourselves for things that have happened in the past, whether that's we've done those things or those things have been imparted to us, and be able to say, hey, you know what? Today, it's just not going to happen today. Your morning routine might not happen today. Your routine that you like, the exercise regimen, might not happen today because of what's happening. And having that flexibility in your thought to be able to adapt. And that's really, you know, the cyclical nature of being a woman is being able to push when you can and also break when it's important to.
For the folks that are listening in the context of your book, I would love to do a little bit of a compare and contrast. You know, you were sharing previously with your workouts and the figure competitions and kind of eating the same thing and broccoli and training the exact same way all month long, the static sort of approach. You talked about the results of that and the consequences of that. Now, in the Estima approach and the Estima method, would love to give a contrast of what that month looks like towards the opposite, when you're following your approach and your methodology, going through some of the key categories that you outline in the book of diet, sleep, and let's say working out.
As it relates to nutrition, what I have found is that there are times that are very appropriate for you to carbohydrate restrict. There are times for you to increase your protein, and there are times for you to increase everything. So you're increasing your carbs, your proteins, and your fats. So I love to cycle between a ketogenic diet and more of a higher protein diet through the first couple of weeks or first few weeks of the cycle. And then in the last week of the cycle, I like everything to go up. And I'll explain why that is in the context of hormones. So in the first week of your cycle, this is usually the bleed week. This is usually when you are shedding the endometrial lining. All of your hormones are very low, with the exception of follicular stimulating hormones. So estrogen's low, progesterone's gone, luteinizing hormone's gone. All of the key players in your cycle are relatively low. You just have FSH or follicular stimulating hormone there because we're trying to drive up and mature one follicle. This is a great time for what I call a female-specific ketogenic diet. And what I mean by that is that you are like a traditional ketogenic diet where you are having higher fats, a moderate amount of protein, and you are restricting your carbohydrates. Except for women, what I like to do is I like to make the carbohydrates mainly vegetables. So I am a big fan of the brassica family. So that's your broccoli and your cauliflower and your turnips and your bok choy and all of these this family of foods that has some very important compounds in it that help with estrogen clearance. So if you are a woman who tends to get that PMS, that, you know, hot and achy joints, you know, your breasts are very tender, you have the brain fog, sleep disturbances, mood changes in those last 2 weeks of your cycle, it's likely because your estrogen is not being cleared out as efficiently as it can. So we'd like to start right at the beginning of the cycle with taking in some of these compounds that have sulforaphanes in them, which is the special compound that I'm talking about that helps with and amplifies liver detoxification. So liver detox, we're not talking about like a smoothie detox. This is not like a juice detox. This is actually a process that your liver undergoes every single day, all the time. Your liver is basically taking a compound, changing it into an intermediate, and then finding a way to excrete it. So that's either through the bowel, through the gut, through the urine. And when you take in compounds in the brassica family, you are going to upregulate your liver's ability to move those compounds through to excretion. And that includes estrogen. So estrogen's golden rule is use it and lose it. So you want to use it, you know, you want to use estrogen to like plump up your cheeks and, you know, grow your hair and give you the curves and all the things. But then you don't want it to hang around, because if it's reabsorbed, if you have bowel issues, then this is when we can have estrogen reactivated. And now you have too much estrogen in the system. So ketogenic diet in week one, in like your bleed week. And then towards the end of week one, your period ends. Like most women bleed somewhere between 4 and 7 days on the longer side, but 4 to 6 days, let's call it. And then towards the end of the week and into the second week, estrogen now is making a really big rise. So we will see levels of estrogen go from like 5 picograms per deciliter all the way up to like 300 or 400 in some cases, picograms per deciliter. So it is a huge mountain that estrogen increases in her concentration. So in that second week, and remember, estrogen is trophic. She's a growth, like she helps with growth. So she plumps up, like I said, your skin, your hair, your nails, all the things, helps with muscle growth as well. It's an anabolic hormone. The other thing that increases in week two is your testosterone. So I actually like continuing with the brassica family, continuing with those vegetables in week two. I like to change the composition of the diet a little bit so that we're now profiting from the high estrogen and the high testosterone in combination. Increasing your likelihood that you are going to put on muscle mass. So when you eat protein, you have to have a certain amount of protein to get this process started. The process that I'm referring to is called muscle protein synthesis. If you're having an animal-based protein, it's around, call it 25 grams of maybe a whey, you know, it's like a whey powder, like if it's a protein shake, or it might be, you know, 4 or 5 ounces of chicken breast or, you know, some steak. You need about 2 to 2.5 grams of leucine, which is an amino acid, without going like too far down the nerd, without going on this like geeky magic carpet ride. We need about 2.5 grams of leucine to start the process of your body making new muscle proteins. But you can amplify that. So you either do that in the gym, right? You either are lifting weights that are going to have a mechanical stimulus that will help you build those muscle proteins, or you can do it in the kitchen. So that is through the increase in protein. So that week two, I still want all those those beautiful brassica families there helping to deactivate and process estrogen. But now we're changing the fat and the protein. So now you are protein. It is a higher protein week. So, you know, it could be 40% fat, 40% protein, 20% carbohydrates. Some women like to do 50% fat, 40 protein, and then, you know, the fill, like the 10% is carbs. It really is up to the individual. And I personally like to increase my carbohydrates when I'm increasing my protein, because we, you know, in the ketogenic, I think, world, there has been this like carbs are the devil and insulin is the devil. And for people who are dealing with obesity and type 2 diabetes and some of these metabolic issues, yes, we want to be limiting carbohydrates, but insulin also has very, very important actions on our thyroid, on our ability to synthesize muscle proteins as well. So we want to be, I like to bump up the carbs a little bit in that week. And then when we move into that luteal phase that I was talking about before, where you know, now we have released the egg, there's been ovulation that takes place. And now I like to move back to that ketogenic, that's, you know, that female-centric ketogenic diet, with the exception that now you are adding in more resistant starches or prebiotic fibers. So what this does is it helps with your cravings. Essentially, like the big thing that it does is it helps with your cravings, but it also helps with your sleep. So many women in the second phase of their cycle will talk about, I'm not sleeping as well, maybe I'm hot, or I feel like all I want is like a chocolate bar, or all I want is like I have salt cravings. And when you are taking resistant starches, in addition to, you know, having the right greens making up your plate and the proteins and the fats, you are going to attenuate, or you're going to dampen the cravings that you're going to have. You're going to help with your sleep. If you are someone who suffers from digestive issues, this is also going to be really important as well, because a resistant starch, just as a really quick definition, it's something that's not digested by the small intestine, and it is a food source for the bugs or the bacteria in your large intestine. So your large intestinal microbiota are going to like chomp this all up, and then they're going to release a short chain fatty acid called butyrate. And then that is what is going to give you those benefits, the beauty sleep that you're looking for, to dampen the cravings and to help with digestion, bloating, distension, all of that. And then finally, in the last week of your period, or of your cycle rather, I think it's important for all women to increase their caloric intake. And that can be really scary for a lot of women who've been, you know, conditioned to think about always, you know, caloric restricting, diet, eat just like a rabbit. But it is not, because I'm not telling you to go and clear out Ben and Jerry, clear out like a grocery store, like the middle aisles of the cookies and the chips and the crackers. What I'm telling you is you need to be increasing all of your foods, because your body is making a new organ. Your body is making that endometrial lining, whether you want the baby or not, whether you want whether you want to be pregnant or not, your body is going to do that irrespective of your wishes. So your endometrial lining is going to be thickening up, and you need more energy for that. And if you resist that, if you're like, nope, I'm just going to keep having what I have, I promise you, your hormones will win, like every time. So that's sort of how I structure and how I nuance my eating. When we think about this in a training context, I will change the type of cardio that I do through the month. So I mentioned, you know, estrogen and testosterone, they get really, really high in that second week. Estrogen, one of the functions that estrogen has on our musculoskeletal system is it makes our ligaments really loosey-goosey, like really lax. And it also it makes our tendons stiffer. So when we think about burst movements, so like the high intensity interval training, maybe it's the Peloton, or maybe it's the whatever class it is, where you're sprinting or you're doing burpees, like anything where there's an explosion of movement in that week, this is a ripe time for you to injure yourself. And we see this over and again. And there's been quite a few studies that looked at the ACL joints of women in their reproductive years, injuring them. There's much more ligamentous injury in that second week because of that estrogen rise. So this is a great week for heavyweights. And like I said, unless you're taking exogenous testosterone, I promise you can't bulk up. I promise you won't look like the Hulk. Lift heavy, heavy weights, like 5 to 8 reps, like heavy stuff in that week, because your tendons are also stiffer. So they can also take the heavier load in that week. And then throughout the other weeks, it's really you know, I'm very flexible in terms of how it lays out. But in week 1 and 3, it's like kind of moderate weights, like somewhere between 8 and 10, 8 and 12 reps. And then in that last week, when we are the most inflamed, tend to be the most inflamed, I like to take the weight, the moment arm or the weight lower, and then increase the reps. So you're still getting the contraction of the muscle and you're still releasing the myokines and the anti-inflammatory, because that is an anti-inflammatory constituent of weight training, but you're doing it at a lighter load and you're helping, you know, you're helping your, you're just honoring the way that your body is designed to do in that week. The other thing I like is I actually like you to take a couple days off. I know, shocker, right? Like 3 to 4 days off in that last week. Allow yourself to recover. You've been training. If you have been resistance training, you've been doing it now for 3.5 weeks, like you've earned it, right? And allow your body to heal and repair, because that's, you know, if you're someone who wants to put on muscle, as I do, that's where all your gains come in. Gains come at, you know, during sleep, and they come on your off days. So stop trying to push yourself through no matter what. You got to make the class, you got to do the workout, like allow yourself to recover, because that really is one of the most productive things you can do, is to actually rest.
Is there someone, you know, you had so many patients, you took through this process, refined it over a period of time. Is there a testimonial that comes to mind of somebody that has a nice compare and contrast? You know, you've been so kind to share your story. Mm-hmm. Any patients come to mind that went through this process, and you could just share a little bit big picture about their, just their results from going through this process?
Oh gosh, there's so many, but I will, there's been several in the clinic, and then I do, some health coaching, some one-on-one, coaching now as well. So I'll kind of share a recent, woman that I was working with, and she came to me just wanting, like, she's like, I know you're the weight loss girl. Like, I just want to lose weight. And I was like, okay, we'll do that. You know, you also want to always meet people where they are, right? Because I think weight loss is important. We want to be metabolically healthy. But one of my secret goals for people, if you ever are thinking of working with me, it's always going to be to get you to love yourself like you mean it. Like, that's always going to be a secret goal of mine. So we started working with this protocol. So we started working with a ketogenic diet. And actually, I'll back up and give you just a little bit more color. So that cyclical keto that I was just talking about, that is usually followed by one menstrual cycle. So one cycle's worth of pure keto. So like a 28-day pure keto. And then we move into that cyclical protocol, because I think it's important to, for one cycle, sometimes two, in some cases I see women wanting to repeat it 3 times, but we want to start getting that metabolic flexibility so that woman can kind of easily go into being a sugar burner or a fat burner. So we started off with this particular client. We started her with this 28-day keto. And then we started, after she had done one cycle, she's like, okay, I feel like I have it now. And now I want, like, we started layering on some muscle work. And what I tend to attract, the type of women that I tend to attract are almost exactly like myself. They're all type A personalities. They all have, you know, really very vicious, sometimes inner critics. And when they fall off the bandwagon, it's like, I'm a loser. I suck. There's something wrong with me. And we had she had had a weekend, there were people over and there was wine and she had alcohol, and she was like, okay, like, I totally messed up. We got to start from day one. I said, no, we don't have to start from day one. We can still continue to move forward. And she was beating herself up about it. And so I had her, answer some questions about her childhood and what she thought it was, you know, what it meant to be a woman, what her worthiness was about around being a mother. And yeah, there was quite a few sessions where we were just like falling on a Zoom call together. But the overall, you know, we've just finished working together now. And I mean, when we think about her results, they speak for themselves. So she ended up losing around 20 pounds, a little more than 20, it was like 21 pounds. She's built a lot of muscle. And more importantly, she knows how to forgive herself. So she knows that when she falls off, when she has the alcohol, or when she doesn't follow the thing, she's flexible enough to know. You know, so one of the things that, one of her issues that she would say to me is she would weigh herself like almost every day. And she would say, like, I gained weight today. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I had this alcohol and now I'm like 4 pounds pounds heavier. Like, I can't believe it. I'm such a loser. And it's like, okay, now you know that that's just water, right? It's just water being stored with the glycogen, because we know that whenever you have carbohydrates, that's stored with 3 to 4 molecules of water as well. So one molecule of glycogen, obviously with 3 to 4. So she would be like, okay, fine. I'll go and do the thing. I'll do the keto again. And then again, with very much predictability, 3 or 4 days later, all the weight's off. And she's like, oh yeah, you were right. So the end result with her was that she lost the weight that she was looking for. She now has a program, a weight training program that is easy for her to do almost all the time. And she doesn't beat herself up about it. So when she does fall off, which we all do, like even in the book, like, I've given you all the protocols, I've done all the things, you're not always going to do it. You're not always going to have a morning routine. You're not always going to get to your workout. But the point is that you have the ease in your thinking and the flexibility in your thinking to say, okay, today didn't happen, but I'll get after it tomorrow or the day after, or maybe I'm just not going to do it this week, you know? So I would say that is a really shining example of a woman. And maybe, you know, she set out with a weight goal and we attained it. But I think the more important goal is that she now has a better relationship with herself, and she can listen to some of the symptoms that her body is telling her. And she doesn't freak out about the weight, right? If she gains 4 pounds because she's had a couple glasses of wine and some cheese and crackers or whatever, then, you know, it's like she knows what to do. She has the tools. She has the life skills. And that's actually what it's all about, right? It's about playing the long game. Like, maybe you want to lose weight for a, you know, reunion or something, but it's like after that big event happens, you still want to be able to have these skills carry over into your life so that you can continue to apply them over time.
She has a foundation that she can run to and go back to at any given moment. And as you mentioned, I think the loving yourself is so key, because we've all achieved a goal in our life and thought it was going to change everything about what would happen for us, whether that's a financial goal, a body goal, attaining something, you know, whatever it might be. And no, you kind of return back to your average level of happiness. And that's why these fundamental things like loving yourself are so key. And I'm so glad that you make it a key part of the program.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's, you know, in the book too. I mean, my hope is that yes, you'll have protocols, and yes, you'll have like the labs, you're going to know the labs, and you're going to know, you know, what the effect is. You're going to have the knowledge, but then you're also going to be able to say, okay, and if I can't always do it, that's okay too, because I'm human and I'm having an experience in a sometimes unpredictable world. And I know now how to best respond to myself. Like, that's the biggest, if I had, you know, hundreds of thousands of people read the book and one person said, you know what, I learned how to love myself, like that is worth it for me. Because I think as women, we blame ourselves. We live in, you know, maybe more, you know, I would call it a patriarchal type of society where achievement, you know, we were talking about goals. Like, I want to have a financial goal. I want to have the accolades. I want to have the degree. I want to have the weight goal. I want to have all these goals. But we often forget about what some of the, you know, more, if you talk about divine feminine and divine masculine, when we talk about what does it look like to actually just be okay with where I am right now, to not think that I'm behind, to not think that there's something wrong with me or that I'm broken. What would it feel like for me to just say, you know, I like myself. Like, how, and what a radical thought, right? Like, to say, I just really like myself, and I'm going to work on, and I'm going to eat the foods that I know nourish me, because I know I'm worth it. Not because I have to, not because I have to look a certain way, but because I'm worth it. Or I'm going to go to my gym or my home gym or whatever. And I'm going to work out because I know that that's really good for my brain. Not because I got to look like the Instagram model. I got to grow the booty. I got to do the this and the that, you know, because the standards of beauty always change. They are always shape-shifting. I don't know if you've seen any of those memes where there's been girls that have used like Photoshop to show how they, like, what the, like in the 1900s, what a standard of beauty was. And, you know, in the 60s, there was Twiggy. And then there was, you know, now we're in the era of maybe the Kardashians, or like the fuller, you know, fuller bosom, fuller hips, fuller butt, you know. But that's also going to change, right? It's always a moving target. So if you just kind of get good with you, it doesn't matter what the external world is telling you.